Now, I know that gospel would not be used today by any labour union working out a workplace agreement and arguing or battling over wages. But from the outset, know that the gospel is not about wages. The problem with understanding that gospel in our context today, here in Australia in 2020, is that our world and our worldview has been, as I said in the introduction, it has been tainted by economy rather than humanity. And the entire gospel that you heard there is Matthew's way of putting through the lips of Jesus the generosity and demonstrating the generosity of God. Now, I know that most of us can't grasp the generosity of God. We can't grasp it for two reasons, it seems to me. Firstly is we cannot fathom the bigness and the goodness of God. Therefore, we cannot, in our small brains and sometimes tainted hearts, fathom how God could be so big in his generosity, how he is so generous. Because our understanding of generosity, the second part, is tainted, as I say, by our world conditioning to economy, being attached so much to what some would call justice. This is not about justice. Even in the parable, it's not a historical account. It's a parable. It's a story used to highlight a point. And the workers in this story were all paid justly. They were paid their contract. So it's not about justice. It's actually about generosity. And it's also about the persistence of God. And people don't often see that when they read this gospel. And they think, well, that's just not fair. Those blokes were there all day. And the others came in and did 1 hour's work and they all got paid the same. We have to put that conditional understanding out of our mind, but we find that very challenging because that's the nature of the world that we live in at the moment. In the Mediterranean mind, particularly in Jesus' time, that was not the case at all. Remembering that in Matthew's community, the ones that became the first Christians were Jews. They were Jewish converts to the gospel. So they brought with them their Judaism, their cult and their culture, and many of their practices. But certainly they brought with them the firm belief that they were the chosen people. And therefore they were expecting that they would be treated as VIPs, that they would get the front seats. That's what they brought in to the vineyard. And Matthew uses the story with the usual symbols. The vineyard, of course, is the church. The landowner, the word landowner from the original Greek, it means the master of the house. That's what it technically means. So the master of the house, in this case, is God. The house, which is the vineyard, is the church, and it's Matthew's church. So he's addressing an issue that was relevant at that time, particularly to do with those who thought that they should have got preferential treatment. But please try to see beyond that, because that's not the point of the parable. It is, as I say again, about the generosity of God, something that we find so difficult to grasp. Now, in Jesus' time, in the Mediterranean world, if somebody was envious, that word, in its biblical and historical context, that means if you're envious, the question that you ask is, are you seeing this with your evil eye? Evil eye and envy, those words come together. So the evil eye, for those of you that have travelled through Turkey and Greece particularly, you will have seen like a teardrop and it's got the blue in the middle of it. That's known as the evil eye. And so the evil eye, when it looks at somebody in envy, We have this within us, but in the Mediterranean mind, to envy something is to want, not only want that something, but it is to want it at all cost and at any cost. And in this case, if it's the vineyard, then if we're looking at it as I want that vineyard, then I want it and I don't care if I kill the landowner, the owner of the vineyard in the meantime, because that's what I'm after. That's how deep the evil eye goes in the culture of the time. And that's not so much part of our culture, but that's what the word envious means. It's much more than a little bit of jealousy. It means I will do anything to get that and take possession, even if I have to destroy it in getting it. That's how strong it was in the culture of Jesus' time. So when the first Christians in Matthew's community brought that attitude with them, Jesus uses a parable to say, get rid of such attitudes and learn to have a generous heart. And the real meaning of the word generous in this sense is not so much giving coin, or it's not so much about dollars and cents or denarius. But that's not what it's about. It's actually starting with giving yourself to another individual who is disadvantaged in some way. And I also said it's about the persistence. Five times the landowner, the master of the house, five times he goes out to pull people in and gives them all the same wage. That's persistence. And when we think of God's generosity, we have to think of the persistence of God. God does not give up. We do, because we are so conditioned to either getting things our way, or we're so battered because we don't get things our way. And then we become bitter and twisted and envious. We need to get rid of all of that sort of attitude in order to open ourselves up to being generous people. And I'm not talking again about the economy. If you look in the bulletin this week, you'll see that I published the results of the collection that we had over the last two weekends for our retired priests to support them. And you'll see that the collection is over $1,000 more than what it was this time last year. There was no pandemic last year. There is this year. Some of you have lost your jobs. Certainly your work circumstances have changed. But somehow or other, this parish was generous with dollar to support our retired priests. So it's not about that sort of generosity, because I know that that exists within you. Our generosity is one of welcome. Why aren't our people here, other than the government regulation, which does my head in, but why aren't they here? Is it because we who are in the vineyard, is it because we've not been welcoming? We haven't gone out and brought them in? Have we not been persistent in exercising the generosity that's been given to us? Perhaps it is. And so I think that this COVID time, this time that we're living in at the moment, is certainly, it's got its pains, but it is also a time of great opportunity for us to be witnesses to God's generosity, because we have received that generosity, each and every one of us. So it is an opportunity, for, as I look at it, to exercise great generosity. Go beyond what we would normally do. If you're sitting next to somebody who you always sit near at Mass and you don't even know their name, that's the generosity that I'm talking about. And it happens all the time in our churches and in our communities. We pass the same people all the time, don't even know their name. Nod, a bow. That's the generosity. We need to open up our heart. I also think that this is a time for us to exercise great humility, putting behind us our conditional understanding of what generosity is, and humbling ourselves to actually see particularly the disadvantaged as they are. Why are they disadvantaged? Why are they continually being kept in that place and space in our community? Why is it that we are not generous enough to see a way through for them, to welcome them into whatever vineyard? It may be the church, it may simply be a roof over their head. And the third thing I see in this opportunity of COVID time is an opportunity for us to become creative in the way in which we exercise our welcome, to truly do some exercise, some initiative that is completely out of the ordinary. It may even make us feel uncomfortable, but as long as it is authentic, it comes from my heart and it comes from the community's heart in our parish, then we are close to living the generosity of God, which is way beyond our understanding. That's why Isaiah says in the first reading, as the heavens are high above earth, my ways are nowhere near your ways. We need to close that gap. And I think personally the way to close that gap, the best gift that we can give is simply a portion of our very selves.